Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. I thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z, where each week I pick a new band or musician going in alphabetical order, no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this show. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musician played here on this podcast, and I ask for you to go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support, and I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. All right, had to get that business out of the way first and foremost. I'm really excited about this week's show featuring the White Stripes. Been listening to all their albums a lot lately, and wow, distilling my list down to 10 songs was not an easy task. Fortunately, they have like 6 records, or maybe I should say unfortunately, because I don't know if there is a more consistent rock act out there. I'm probably talking about Jack White in general. Absolutely one of the most talented guitarists and overall musicians of the last 20 some odd years, and extremely prolific. His tenure with the White Stripes is actually only a fraction of the output of his work. The last studio album was in 2007, but he's also since put out 3 solo records, 3 albums with the Dead Weather, 3 albums with the Raconteurs, and so that's like 15 releases in 21 years, and all of them are incredibly original and distinct from each other. For today, though, we're digging deep into the White Stripes, who rose to prominence during the garage rock revival surge of the early 2000s. I think coining all these bands at the time, garage rock revivalist bands, ended up doing more harm than good to a majority of them. One of them, The Hives, was featured on episode 8. So if you're here for The White Stripes, chances are you might dig that show as well. I just want the world to know that these bands like The Hives or The White Stripes were so much more than a small handful of songs that they heard on the radio. Same goes for The Strokes and The Vines. The Vines, actually, I got to play on last week's show. These bands actually were quite diverse and were technically as skilled as any band. When the term garage rock revival gets thrown around a lot, people start immediately thinking of inexperienced indie rock, 3-chord rock songs that all sound the same. Okay, anyways, off my rant. If you're here, you already know that the White Stripes are definitely not that and should be heralded as one of the great rock and roll bands. They should be a shoo-in for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in a couple years, but who knows? That organization has missed the mark on a lot of things. So, the White Stripes were formed in Detroit, Michigan in 1997 by Jack Gillis and Meg White. Jack and Meg got married shortly later, and Jack actually took Meg's surname. How many of us men do that? It's pretty cool, actually. They were and are the entire band as a duo. Jack is the primary songwriter, vocalist, and guitarist, and Meg is the drummer. If the song gives way to piano over guitar, that's always Jack on the keys. It's a very simple formula. Even when they perform in concert in front of thousands, it's just the two of them. Occasionally, they do bring in a guest musician for a particular song here or there. So before I get to the music, I must quickly mention my relationship to the White Stripes and how I got into them. Like pretty much everyone that was exposed to them probably around 2001 when their single, Fell in Love with a Girl, was everywhere. I did like that song a lot, but I remember I was living in LA at the time and distinctly remember buying their White Blood Cells album on CD at Tower Records on Sunset Boulevard. I played that CD to death and I loved every track on it and have been a devoted follower ever since. So if you are a subscriber to the show, you know that here are the ABCs of Rock. I make it a point to avoid playing singles, hits, pretty much anything popular that has found its way into the mainstream. I like to pride myself on digging deep into these studio albums and curating some of my favorite songs that I feel are some of the best that are underrated or underappreciated, and give a little insight into each track. It's my way of reintroducing the casual fan to the band that may only know the White Stripes from a handful of songs you may still hear on the radio. All right, shall we get started? Of course. On June 15th, 1999, the White Stripes released their self-titled debut LP on an indie label called Symphony for the Record Industry. It was produced by Jack White and Jim Diamond. My gut tells me that the mainstream public never really has been exposed to this amazing debut by the band. Happens to a lot of bands that find success after they've put out several albums. Their debut is such an eclectic collection of songs. They're young and clearly dipping their toes into many different styles to see what catches. I think that's what I love about this album and separates it from the others, is that it's by far their most disjointed, but it's in the best way possible. It has a little bit of everything. A couple of the highlights for me are Susie Lee, Wasting My Time, and Screwdriver. But really, from top to bottom, you can't go wrong with any of the songs here. And some of them are real short. It almost has a vaudevillian vibe to it. My first of two songs I'm going to play for you today is a great overlooked gem titled Astro. So this bluesy rocker, I say, isn't filler, which I have read on some unnamed websites. I couldn't disagree more. I think this song absolutely kicks ass, and it couldn't be any simpler. On Song Facts, it states that Astro is whatever you do in secret that nobody knows about. Everybody does the Astro, it says. As far as the lyrics, oh yeah, if you're new to the show, I typically quote my lyrics from each song, usually in the most deadpan delivery. Not by choice, folks. Astro's lyrics are pretty simplistic, so I'm not going to do it for this particular song. In fact, according to Jack White, the song for quite some time was an instrumental, and it was late in the game when the lyrics were added to the song.
One, two, three, four.
Maybe Lily does the Astro.
here's another most excellent track from the White Stripes' first album. The second song is very different. I think you'll notice that throughout the show, that the music that I'm picking will be jumping all around with hard rockers, piano ballads, to straightforward blues. It's just one of the things I love about the Stripes. So this next song is One More Cup of Coffee, which is a cover of a Bob Dylan song, which was originally on his 1976 album Desire. The original is amazing, and I think the Stripes offer up a respectable interpretation of the Dylan classic. I love this song so much. For such a simple song, it conjures up such a vivid picture in my mind. Their music is so visual, cinematic even. Great music for a movie soundtrack. This one, definitely. The song in particular conjures up the most, for me, an almost something out of a Quentin Tarantino movie. That organ that comes in halfway through is haunting and it raises the tension in the song for me. Cool stuff. Going with the second verse for this song. Your daddy, he's an outlaw and a wanderer by trade. He'll teach you how to pick and choose and how to throw the blade. He oversees his kingdom, so no stranger does intrude. His voice, it trembles as he calls out for another plate of food. Let's move on in their catalog to their sophomore album, which is titled The Style, which means the style in English. From what I've read, it's a reference to a very obscure Dutch art movement devoted to pleasures of austerity from the mid-20th century. It was released on June 20th, 2000, again on the Sympathy for the Record Industry label, and solely produced by Jack White. Going forward, Jack would solely produce all of the White Stripes albums. This is quite simply another great stripped-down, bare-bones-sounding album. I just love the guitar tones that Jack brings into this album. Between the debut and this album, one of their collaborators, a great musician guitarist in his own right, Johnny Walker of the Soledad Brothers, contributed to the studio recordings, but also taught Jack the slide guitar. And Jack really shows off his newfound talents on this second album. Let's listen to one of my favorite tracks from this album, which happens to incorporate some of that vintage slide work from him. This is A Boy's Best Friend. Going with the second verse again on this song, and here it is. Words that are spoken alone, phrases you will never hear, empty rooms and telephone that I will never use, never fear.
Thank you. become his pet.
There are many other examples of Jack's amazing slide work on De Stijl. Could easily have gone with Death Letter or Little Bird. Both of those are amazing. Also love the song Apple Blossom, so there's another honorable mention for you. Man, only picking 10 songs from The Stripes, it was like torture. But I promise you, I got some great stuff to come. So up next was their third release titled White Blood Cells, which was released on July 3rd, 2001, and produced by Jack White. It was their final release on the Sympathy for a Record Industry label. Most of the world would know this album as their big commercial breakthrough, of course, due to the huge success of the single Fell in Love with a Girl. What's interesting is that single wasn't even released until April 23rd of 2002. So I'm guessing White Blood Cells wasn't an immediate success. Nonetheless, this is one of the all-time great albums of the decade. I really dig the bombastic nature of it, the vocal delivery that Jack uses on this album. It sounds like his vocal cords are going to shred at any moment, and the amps they're using sound like they're just full of broken glass. So much confidence in their sound. I could easily say that this is my favorite album in their catalog. Top to bottom, not a single weak track. Going to pick a couple songs from this one. First is a very unusual song from them titled The Union Forever. What makes this such an oddity is that all the lyrics are taken from the movie Citizen Kane, which also happens to be one of my all-time favorite movies. The song is bookended with this hypnotizing and creepy looping guitar and organ. You either love it or hate it. But out of nowhere in the middle is this unexpected vocal breakdown, which I find so cool. And of course, I'm going to quote that part of the vocal breakdown. There is a man, a certain man, and for the poor you may be sure that he'll do all he can. Who is this one? Whose favorite son? Just by his action has the traction magnates on the run.
Has the traction magnets on the run. Who likes to smoke, enjoys a joke, and wouldn't get a bit upset if he were really broke. With wealth and fame, he's still the same. I'll bet you five you're not alive if you don't know his name.
Thank you.
Love it when the Stripes get experimental. And speaking of which, I don't know if they ever did this more than one time on any studio record, and that is record a full-length instrumental rock song. The song Aluminum is a bombastic sensory explosion. All those needles and meters are in the red on this track. So strap in for 2 minutes and 20 seconds of Jack and Meg abusing their instruments. I only wish this song was twice as long. Give you a moment to catch your breath. Like I said, top to bottom, White Blood Cells is an incredible album, and the songs I picked probably don't best represent the best of the album. These two were by far the most experimental songs on here, but I don't care. I love them. But if you wanted to sample some other songs, highlights from this album are the opener, Dead Leaves, and The Dirty Ground, which I think are incredible. I think it was one of the singles released too. I Think I Smell a Rat has some amazing guitar work on it, and the songs I'm Finding It Harder to Be a Gentleman, as well as Expecting, were very painful to leave off this episode. Oh well. Before I get to the next song, I just want to take a brief moment, since we're about halfway through the episode, and I want to remind all of you that and thank you once again for tuning into the show, and how much I appreciate each and every one of you for being a loyal listener or subscriber to my podcast. I've released now over 40 episodes of the show, and it's truly been the highlight of what has been, for the most part, a very trying year. If you've been listening to these episodes, I'd love to hear from you. There is an email that I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find me on social media on Facebook at abcofrockpodcast and on Twitter at abcrockpodcast. This show is available on dozens of podcast apps. So please, if you love the show, subscribe and give it a rating and review on whatever app you prefer. Those ratings and reviews actually play a large role with algorithms that help raise the profile of the show and make it more discoverable for a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. On April 1st, 2003, the White Stripes released their fourth studio album, Elephant, and it was produced by Jack White. They signed on the dotted line with V2, an extension of Virgin. So they finally got a major label, and they certainly didn't waste their shot. It turned out to be their big coming out party because this album was huge. Seven Nation Army, of course, got its nomination and win for Best Rock Song, if anyone really cares about the Grammys. I certainly don't, but it just goes to show the widespread appreciation for this record and the mainstream success the Stripes attained by this point in their career. The singles off Elephant hit pretty big. The Hardest Button to Button reached pretty high in the charts, as I recall. And another single, a cover of I Just Don't Know What to Do With Myself, became one of the more surprising choices of a single, especially since it's been covered so many times over the years. It's practically falls into the category of a standard. Still, it's a good song and a good cover. However, what makes this album so special in my book are, of course, the other dozen or so album cuts from this masterpiece, and I could easily select any of these and feel quite content with my choice. But since I went with two pretty obscure songs from White Blood Cells, I'm going to rein in a little and select a couple songs I think everyone is going to groove to. The first is I Want to Be the Boy. It starts off as a piano ballad, but Meg maintains this hypnotic tempo that leads into a masterful slide guitar solo from Jack. The song is utterly beautiful and is a perfect balance of how their sludgy, murky, southern gothic sound meshes with their bittersweet lyrics. The songwriting is top-notch here. Jack's melancholy story of a boy desperately trying to gain the approval of the girl he loves, Mother, who disapproves of their relationship. I'm sure some of us can relate. I'm going with the chorus for this one. What kind of cartwheels do I have to pull? What kind of joke should I lay on her now? I'm inclined to go finish high school just to make her notice that I'm around. I want to be the boy to warm your mother's heart. I'm so scared to take you away. I try to win her over from the start, but something always got in the way. We've been sitting in your backyard for hours, but she won't even come out and say hi. While my mother baked a little cake for you and even dreaded when you said goodbye. What kind of car wheels do I have to pull? What kind of jokes should I lay out of now? High school, just to make a notice that I'm around. Nothing I come up with seems to work. It feels like everything I say is a lie. Never have I felt like such a jerk. I'm afraid to even open my eyes, because I really don't want her to judge me. I want her to really know who I am, and then and only then will she love me. Well, at least that was the plan. If ever a boy needed a holiday, if ever a girl needed someone to hold, hope I don't act the same way by the time that I get that old.
never said I was the heir of a fortune. I never claimed to have any looks. But this kind of things must be important, 'cause somebody ripped out my page in your telephone book.
Here's another Alpha Elephant that absolutely needs to be celebrated as one of the finest from the album. Going to play The Air Near My Fingers. This one comes pretty deep on the back half. It's got the simplistic guitar riff, very reminiscent of the Trog's Wild Thing. But who cares? It kicks ass. You gotta love the sound Jack is getting out of that organ on this. And the song features two organ solos, actually, because that's what this modern rock world needs more of these days. Not 100% sure what keyboard Jack's using for this song. I think it's a WorldSir 200A from what I can tell. But I just adore the sound he's getting out of it. If you didn't know already, the song's written about Norman Bates, the fictional character from the Alfred Hitchcock movie Psycho. So pay attention to the lyrics. They're pretty fun. This is from the third verse of the song. My mom is so caring. She's really got me staring at all the crazy little things she does for sure. And I can't seem to think of another kind of love that a boy could ever get from anyone but her.
Snoring, I'm wearing out the flooring in a cheap hotel, but I don't have to work it. And I might be silly, but I'm never gonna have to hear the rings of school bells. Do 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 do. You told me in December that a boy is not a man until he makes a stand. Well, I'm not a genius, but maybe you'll remember this. I never said I ever wanted to be a man. We'll be right back.
Jumping ahead to their fifth studio album, Get Behind Me Satan, which was released on June 7th, 2005, again on V2. The album received lots of critical acclaim and a Grammy nom. However, for it was the first time the band saw record sales go in the wrong direction. I think a lot of it is attributed to the very different style the album was produced in. It is quite different. They abandoned a lot of their heavy electric guitars in favor of more acoustic and piano-led songs. Not that there aren't some solid rockers on here, but you can distinctly tell that they were steering the ship in a new direction on Get Behind Me Satan. And I don't think the songs broke through into the mainstream the same way that the previous albums did. I really like this album, but even I will make the claim that it's probably my least favorite. But I still couldn't point to a single song on here that I would say I don't like. Some of my favorites here are The Nurse, which has this really neat xylophone that holds the song together. I mean, how many rock songs can claim that? White Moon is one of the most beautiful piano ballads they ever recorded. And Take, Take, Take is also one of my favorites. But if I got to pick one song from this record, I'm going to go with this little acoustic gem buried deep on the album titled As Ugly As I Seem. I'm a sucker for acoustic ballads, and when I listen to this, it just puts me in a trance. Meg's percussion is as stripped down as possible. She's probably playing either a tabla or a djembe. It's all the song ever needs. I love the songwriting on this one. It's just amazing. Here's the third verse. Judge yourself if you feel the need. Just let me known to be. In search of the truth myself, there is a drop of blood on the ground. And it seems to me that it's not my kind. And I can't be sure if it's yours or mine.
2, 3. a drop of blood on the ground, and it seems to me that it's not my kind. I can't be sure if it's yours or mine.
We're going to move on to the sixth and final studio release titled Icky Thump, which came out on June 15th, 2007 and produced by Jack White. The band made a move to the Warner Brothers label for this release after V2 went under. Icky Thump, I feel, was a strong return to form for the band. They were more blues-inflected songs that replaced some of the more quiet ballads and experimental tracks that probably alienated a chunk of their fan base on Get Behind Me, Satan. Something else that probably had a major impact on this album was the fact that between these two releases, Jack recorded, released, and toured with his new side project, The Raconteurs, a band that found instant success and Grammy success with their very radio-friendly hit song, Steady As She Goes. Actually, the entire first album from The Raconteurs, titled Broken Boy Soldiers, is pretty decent, but I find it such an odd situation that Jack ends up in a side project that ends up being so much more mainstream than his main gig. Usually it's the other way around. So what are we going to listen to on Icky Thump? I think you'll enjoy what I've selected, and there's so much to choose from. Little Cream Soda, in my mind, is pure poetry. It starts off with just pounding drums and the sludgy, reverb-driven guitar for an entire minute. It's bombastic, and the way the song is structured, it almost feels like it could completely fall apart and off the hinges at any moment. Equally as effective as the music is on this track is Jack's vocal rant. The spoken word verses, I think, are very effective and are a fun contrast to one of the Stripes' heaviest songs in their catalog. Let's go with these lyrics from the second verse. And there was a time when all I wanted was my ice cream colder and a little cream soda. Oh well, oh well. And a wooden box and an alley full of rocks was all I had to care about. We'll be right back.
moving and shake this riddle off, oh well. And there was a time when all I wanted was my ice cream colder and a little cream soda, oh well, oh well. And a wooden box and an alley full of rocks was all I had to care about, oh well, oh well, oh well. Now my mind is filled with rubber tires and forest fires and one around my liar and lots of other situations where I don't know what to do, at which time God screams to me, there's nothing left for me to tell you.
I got one more to play for you today, and it's a great one. Before I get to that, I just want to highlight a few honorable mentions, because if you haven't already experienced this album, you're really missing out. 300 Mile Per Hour Torrential Outpouring Blues, Prickly Thorn But Sweetly Worn, and Catch Hell Blues all were in the running for this final spot. But I'm going to go with what I think is the most majestic song on this album. If ever there was a song that should be listened to with the volume up and the lights off, it's this one. I'm Slowly Turning Into You. By far my favorite song on Icky Thumb, so I can't think of a better way to end the show. The keyboards on this are so commanding. At around the 1 minute mark, Jack's filthy guitar comes in and it's from another world. Meg's start and stop beat is funky and it fits the song perfectly. Everything about the song is just perfect. Going with the second verse from this song. Yesterday it hit me that I do all the little things that you do, except the same little things that you do are annoying. They're annoying as hell, in fact. It kind of struck a little bell, in fact. I like to keep my little shell intact.
And I'm slowly turning into you.
All right. I sincerely hope you enjoyed that song and all the music played on this week's show. That's going to wrap up the episode and my top 10 underrated and underappreciated songs from the White Stripes. Believe me, there were about another 20 or so songs I could easily have selected for this list. Who knows, maybe when I come back around to the letter W again, we'll do another episode on the White Stripes. They are certainly deserving of the adoration. I hope you have enjoyed my commentary and company. I sincerely appreciate you being a loyal listener to the show and throughout the run of this podcast. Please keep on listening. I got some more shows to come before I wrap up the alphabet for season one. That's how I'm actually kind of approaching this podcast, in the form of seasons. It makes perfect sense. Season one will be my first run through the alphabet, and I may take a little break, a little hiatus, to consider possible ways to change up the format of the show and make some improvements. But I'll be back with recharged batteries to begin again with the letter A, and who knows what band or artist it will be. It may surprise you. As you know, I like to be somewhat unconventional with my choices. I also want to wish all of you a very happy holiday season and a happy new year. Goodbye and good riddance to 2020, last show of the year. Like all of you, I look forward to a much better 2021. You can send your feedback or hate mail to abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me this week. And please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. I love getting feedback and messages letting me know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer over the past hour. I realize that there are literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there that you could be listening to, and I sincerely thank you for spending your time with me on this episode. It means the world to me. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. Thank you again, and have a great week, everyone.
Not for you. You've been looking all around for years for someone to tell your troubles to. Come and sit with me and talk a while. Let me see your pretty little smile. Put your troubles